Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as given to us by the ISKCON Founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter number 56, The Story of the Shyamantaka Jewel. There was a king of the name Satrajit within the jurisdiction of Dwarakadham. He was a great devotee of the sun god, who awarded him the benediction of a jewel known as Shyamantaka. Because of this Shyamantaka jewel, there was a misunderstanding between King Satrajit and the Yadu dynasty. Later, the matter was settled when Satrajit voluntarily offered Krishna his daughter, Satyabhama, along with the Shyamantaka jewel. Not only Satyabhama, but also Jambavati, the daughter of Jambavan, was married to Krishna on account of the Shyamantaka jewel. These two marriages took place before the appearance of Prajumna, which was described in the last chapter. How King Satrajit offended the Yadu dynasty, and how he later came to his senses and offered his daughter and the Shyamantaka jewel to Krishna are described as follows. Since he was a great devotee of the sun god, King Satrajit gradually entered into a very friendly relationship with him. The sun god was pleased with him and delivered to him an exceptional jewel known as Shyamantaka. When Satrajit wore this jewel in a locket around his neck, he appeared exactly like an imitation sun god. Putting on this jewel, he entered the city of Dwaraka, and people thought that the sun god had come into the city to see Krishna. They knew that Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was sometimes visited by the demigods. So while Satrajit was visiting the city of Dwaraka, all the inhabitants except Krishna took him to be the sun god himself. Although King Satrajit was known to everyone, he could not be recognized because of the dazzling effulgence of the Shyamantaka jewel. Mistaking Satrajit to be the sun god, some of the important citizens of Dwaraka immediately went to Krishna to inform him that the sun god had arrived to see him. At that time, Krishna was playing chess. Only one of the important residents of Dwaraka spoke thus, "My dear Lord Narayan, you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In your plenary portion as Narayan or Vishnu, you have four hands with different symbols, the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. You are actually the owner of everything. But in spite of your being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, you descended in Vrindavan to act as the child of Yashoda Mata, who sometimes used to tie you up with her ropes, and therefore you are celebrated by the name Damodar. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, is accepted by the citizens of Dwarka, was later confirmed by the great Mayavadi philosophical leader Shankaracharya. By accepting the Lord as impersonal, he did not reject the Lord's personal form. Everything which has form in this material world is subject to creation, maintenance, and annihilation. But because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, does not have a material form subject to these limitations, Shankaracharya, to convince the less intelligent men who take Krishna to be an ordinary human being, said that God is impersonal. This impersonality means that he is not a person of this material condition. He is a transcendental personality without a material body. The citizens of Dwarka addressed Lord Krishna not only as Damodar, but also as Govinda, which indicates that Krishna is very affectionate to the cows and calves. And just to refer to their intimate connection with Krishna, they addressed him as Yadunandana, because he was born the son of Vasudev in the Yadu dynasty. The citizens of Dwarka concluded by addressing Krishna as the supreme master of the whole universe. They addressed Krishna in many different ways, proud of being citizens of Dwarka who could see Krishna daily. When Satrajit was visiting the city of Dwarka, the citizens felt great pride to think that although Krishna was living in Dwarka like an ordinary human being, the demigods were coming to see him. Thus, they informed Lord Krishna that the sun god, with his glaring bodily effulgence, was coming to see him. The citizens of Dwarka confirmed that the sun god's coming into Dwarka was not very wonderful, because people all over the universe who were searching after the Supreme Personality of Godhead knew that he had appeared in the Yadu dynasty and was living in Dwarka as one of that family. Thus the citizens expressed their joy on this occasion. On hearing the statements of his citizens, the all-pervasive personality of Godhead, Krishna, simply smiled. Being pleased with the citizens of Dwarka, Krishna informed them that the person they described as the sun god was actually King Satrajit, who had come to visit Dwarka city to show his opulence in the form of the valuable jewel obtained from the sun god. Satrajit, however, did not come to see Krishna. He was instead overwhelmed by the Syamantaka jewel. He installed the jewel in a temple to be worshipped by Brahmins he engaged for this purpose. This is an example of a less intelligent person worshipping a material thing. In the Bhagavad Gita it is stated that less intelligent persons, in order to get immediate results from their fruitive activities, worship the demigods created within this universe. The word materialist means one concerned with gratification of the senses within this material world. Although Krishna later asked for this Yamantaka jewel, King Satrajit did not deliver it. On the contrary, he installed the jewel for his own purposes of worship. And who would not worship that jewel? The Shyamantaka jewel was so powerful that daily it produced a large quantity of gold. A quantity of gold is counted by a measurement called par. According to Vedic formulas, one par is equal to about 21 pounds, and one mound equals about 82 pounds. The jewel was producing about 170 pounds of gold every day. Besides that, it is learned from Vedic literature that in whatever part of the world this jewel was worshipped, there was no possibility of famine. And wherever the jewel was present, there was no possibility of anything inauspicious, such as pestilence. Lord Krishna wanted to teach the world that the best of everything should be offered to the ruling chief of the country. King Ugrasena was the overlord of many dynasties and happened to be the grandfather of Krishna. So Krishna asked Satrajit to present the Shyamantaka jewel to King Ugrasena. Krishna pleaded that the best should be offered to the king. But Satrajit, being a worshipper of the demigods, had become too materialistic, and instead of accepting the request of Krishna, thought it wiser to worship the jewel to get the 170 pounds of gold every day. Materialistic persons who can achieve such huge quantities of gold are not interested in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, therefore, to show special favor, Krishna takes away one's great accumulations of materialistic wealth and thus makes one a great devotee. But Satrajit refused to abide by the order of Krishna and did not deliver the jewel. So this line here is so important. I'm going to repeat it for my own purification. We just heard Prabhupada say, sometimes, therefore, to show special favor, Krishna takes away one's great accumulations of materialistic wealth and thus makes one a great devotee. And this other sentence is also for my own purification. Materialistic persons who can achieve such huge quantities of gold are not interested in Krishna consciousness. After this incident, Satrajit's younger brother, in order to display the opulence of the family, took the jewel, put it on his neck, and rode on horseback into the forest, making a show of his material opulence. While Satrajit's brother, who was known as Prasena, was moving here and there in the forest, a big lion attacked him, killed both him and the horse on which he was riding, and took away the jewel to his cave. News of this was received by the gorilla king Jambavan, who then killed that lion in the cave and took away the jewel. Jambavan had been a great devotee of the Lord since the time of Lord Ramachandra. So he did not take the valuable jewel as something he very much needed. He gave it to his young son to play with as a toy. In the city, when Satrajit's younger brother Prasena did not return from the forest with the jewel, Satrajit became very upset. He did not know that his brother had been killed by a lion and that the lion had been killed by Jambavan. He thought instead that because Krishna wanted the jewel, which had not been delivered to him, Krishna might have therefore taken the jewel from Prasenna by force and killed him. This idea grew into a rumor which Satrajit spread in every part of Dwaraka. The false rumor that Krishna had killed Prasenna and taken away the jewel spread everywhere like wildfire. Krishna did not like to be defamed in that way, and therefore he decided that he would go to the forest and find this Yamantaka jewel. Taking with him some of the important inhabitants of Dwaraka, Krishna went to search out Prasenna, the brother of Satrajit, and found him dead, killed by the lion. At the same time, Krishna also found the lion killed by Jambavan, who is generally called Riksha. It was found that the lion had been killed by the hand of Riksha without the assistance of any other weapon. Krishna and the citizens of Dwaraka then found in the forest a great tunnel, said to be the path to Riksha's house. Krishna knew that the inhabitants of Dwaraka would be afraid to enter the temple. He therefore asked them to remain outside, and he himself entered the dark tunnel alone to find Riksha, Jambavan. After entering the tunnel, Krishna saw that the valuable jewel known as Siamantaka had been given to the son of Riksha as a toy. To take the jewel from the child, Krishna approached and stood before him. When the nurse, taking care of Riksha's child, saw Krishna standing before her, she was afraid, thinking he might take away the valuable Siamantaka jewel, and she cried out loudly in fear. Hearing the nurse's cries, Jambavan appeared on the scene in a very angry mood. Jambavan was actually a great devotee of Lord Krishna. But because he was angry, he could not recognize his master and thought him to be an ordinary man. This brings to mind the statement of the Bhagavad Gita, which the Lord advises Arjuna to get free from anger, greed, and lust in order to rise to the spiritual platform. Lust, anger, and greed run parallel in the heart and check one's progress on the spiritual path. It is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in chapter 16 that there are three gates leading to hell: lust, anger, and greed. Krishna says every sane man should give up these three. So therefore, one reason why we perform devotional service and chant the Maha Mantra is so that we become free from anger, lust, and greed. Not recognizing his master, Jambavan challenged him to fight. There was then a great fight between Krishna and Jambavan, in which they fought like two opposing vultures. Whenever there is an eatable corpse, the vultures fight heartily over the prey. Krishna and Jambavan first of all fought with weapons, then with stones, then with big trees, then hand to end, until at last they were hitting each other with their fists. Their blows were like the striking of thunderbolts. Each expected victory over the other. But the fighting continued for 28 days, both in the daytime and at night, without stopping. Although Jambavan was the strongest living entity of that time, practically all the joints of his bodily limbs became slackened, and his strength was reduced practically to nil, for he was struck constantly by the fists of Sri Krishna. Feeling very tired, with perspiration all over his body, Jambavan was astonished. Who was this opponent who was fighting so hard with him? Jambavan was quite aware of his own superhuman bodily strength. But when he felt tired from being struck by Krishna, he could understand that Krishna was no one else but his worshipful Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This incident has special significance for devotees. In the beginning, Jambavan could not understand Krishna because his vision was obscured by material attachment. He was attached to his boy and to the greatly valuable Syamantaka jewel, which he did not want to spare for Krishna. In fact, when Krishna came there, Jambavan was angry, thinking that Krishna had come to take away the jewel. This is the material position. Although one is very strong in body, that cannot help him understand Krishna. So I'd like to repeat for my own purification one very important sentence. In the beginning, Jambavan could not understand Krishna because his vision was obscured by material attachment. So that is why we are taught in the Bhagavad Gita and throughout Srimad Bhagavatam that we must become free from all material attachments and become completely attached only to Krishna and Krishna's service. In a sporting attitude, Krishna wanted to engage in a mock fight with his devotee. As we have experienced from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the propensities and instincts of a human being. Sometimes in a sportive spirit, he wishes to fight to make a show of bodily strength, and when he does so, he selects one of his suitable devotees to give him that pleasure. Krishna desired this pleasure of mock fighting with Jambavan. Although Jambavan was a devotee by nature, he did not know that his opponent was Krishna while giving service to the Lord by his bodily strength. But as soon as Krishna was pleased by the fighting, Jambavan immediately understood that his opponent was none other than the Supreme Lord himself. The conclusion is that Jambavan could understand Krishna by his service, for Krishna is sometimes satisfied by fighting also. So, for my own personal purification, I'd like to underscore a couple of things that we just read. That Krishna was pleased by the service of Jambavan. That is how we understand Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, in at least three places, Krishna says that if you want to know me, if you want to see me, if you want to understand me, the only method is devotional service, bhakti. So that is a most important item. We will understand Krishna not by any other means, but by our service. And service begins with the tongue. So we honor the remnants of food offered to Krishna, and we chant the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jambavan therefore said to the Lord, "My dear Lord, I can now understand who you are. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the source of everyone's strength, wealth, reputation, beauty, wisdom, and renunciation. This statement of Jambavan's is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, wherein the Supreme Lord is declared to be the source of everything. Jambavan identified Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. My dear Lord, you are the creator of the creators of the universal affairs." This statement is very instructive to the ordinary men, who is amazed by the activities of a person with an exceptional brain. The ordinary man is surprised to see the inventions of a great scientist. But the statement of Jambavan confirms that although a scientist may be a creator of many wonderful things, Krishna is the creator of the scientist. He is the creator of not only one scientist, but of millions and trillions all over the universe. Jambavan said further, "Not only are you the creator of the creators, but you are also the creator of the material elements which the so-called creators manipulate." Scientists utilize the physical elements or laws of material nature to do something wonderful. But actually, such laws and elements are also the creation of Krishna. This is actual scientific understanding. Less intelligent men do not try to understand who created the brain of the scientist. They are satisfied simply to see the wonderful creation or invention of the scientist. Jambavan continued, "My dear Lord, the time factor, which combines all the physical elements, is also your representative. You are the supreme time factor in which all creation takes place, is maintained, and is finally annihilated. And beyond the physical elements and the time factor, the persons who manipulate the ingredients and advantages of creation are all part and parcel of you. The living entity is not, therefore, an independent creator. By studying all factors in the right perception, one can see that you are the supreme controller and Lord of everything. My dear Lord, I can therefore understand that you are the same Supreme Personality of Godhead whom I worship as Lord Ramachandra. My Lord Ramachandra wanted to construct a bridge over the ocean, and I saw personally how the ocean became agitated simply by my lord's glancing over it. And when the whole ocean became agitated, the living entities like whales, alligators, and tamingala fish all became perturbed. In this way, the ocean was forced to give way and allowed Ramachandra to cross the island known as Lanka. After the construction of the bridge, a fire was set all over the kingdom of Ravan. During the fighting with Ravan, every part of his limbs was slashed to pieces by your sharp arrows, and his heads fell to the face of the earth. Now I can understand that you are none other than my lord Ramachandra. No one else has such immeasurable strength. No one else could defeat me in this way. Prabhupada made some notes here. The tamingala fish in the ocean can swallow big aquatics like whales in one gulp. The island of Lanka is said now to be known by the name Ceylon. Lord Ramachandra's construction of a bridge over the ocean from Cape Comorin to Ceylon is still well known to everyone. Lord Krishna was satisfied by the prayers and statements of Jambavan, and to mitigate Jambavan's pain, he began to lightly rub the lotus palm of his hand all over Jambavan's body. Thus Jambavan at once felt relieved from the fatigue of the great fight. Lord Krishna then addressed him as King Jambavan, because he, and not the lion, was actually the king of the forest, having killed the lion with his bare hands without a weapon. Krishna informed Jambavan that he had come to ask for the Shyamantaka jewel because ever since it had been stolen, his name had been defamed by the less intelligent. Krishna plainly informed him that he had come there to ask for the jewel in order to be free from this defamation. Jambavan understood the whole situation, and to satisfy the Lord, he immediately delivered not only the Syamantaka jewel, but also his daughter, Jambavati, who was of marriageable age, and presented her to Lord Krishna. The episode of Jambavati's marriage with Lord Krishna and the delivery of the jewel known as Syamantaka was finished within the mountain cave. Although the fighting between Krishna and Jambavan went on for 28 days, the inhabitants of Dwaraka waited outside the tunnel for 12 days, and after that they decided that something undesirable must have happened. They could not understand for certain what had actually happened, and being very sorry and tired, they returned to the city of Dwaraka. All the members of the family, namely Krishna's mother Devaki, his father Vasudev, and his chief wife, Rukmini, along with all their other friends, relatives, and residents of the palace, were very sorry when the citizens returned home without Krishna. Because of their natural affection for Krishna, they began to call Kshetrajit ill names, for he was the cause of Krishna's disappearance. They went to worship the goddess Chandrabhaga, praying for the return of Krishna. The goddess was satisfied by the prayers of the citizens of Dwaraka, and she immediately offered them her benediction. Simultaneously, Krishna appeared on the scene, accompanied by his new wife, Jambavati, and all the inhabitants of Dwaraka and relatives of Krishna became joyful. The inhabitants of Dwaraka were as joyful as someone receiving a dead relative back from the dead. They had concluded that Krishna had been put into great difficulties due to the fighting. Therefore, they had become almost hopeless of his return. But when they saw that Krishna actually returned, not alone, but with a new wife, Jambavati, they immediately performed a ceremony of celebration. King Ugrasena then called for a meeting of all important kings and chiefs. He also invited Satrajit, and before the whole assembly, Krishna explained the incident of the recovery of the jewel from Jambavan. Krishna wanted to return the valuable jewel to King Satrajit. Satrajit, however, was ashamed because he had unnecessarily defamed Krishna. He accepted the jewel in his hand, but he remained silent, bending his head downwards, and without saying anything in the assembly of the kings and chiefs, he returned home with the jewel. Then he thought about how he could clear himself of the abominable act he had performed by defaming Krishna. He was conscious that he had offended Krishna very grievously, and that he had defined a remedial measure so that Krishna would again be pleased with him. King Satrajit was eager to get relief from the anxiety he had foolishly created due to being attracted by a material thing, specifically the Syamantaka jewel. Truly afflicted by the offense he had committed against Krishna, he sincerely wanted to rectify it. From within, Krishna gave him good intelligence, and Satrajit decided to hand over to Krishna both the jewel and his beautiful daughter, Satyabhama. There was no alternative for mitigating the situation, and therefore he arranged the marriage ceremony of Krishna and his daughter. He gave in charity both the jewel and his daughter to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Satyabhama was so beautiful and qualified that Satrajit, in spite of being asked for her hand by many princes, was waiting to find a suitable son-in-law. By the grace of Krishna, he decided to hand his daughter over to him. Lord Krishna, being pleased with Satrajit, informed him that he did not have any need of the Syamantaka jewel. It is better to let it remain in the temple as you have kept it, and every one of us will derive benefit from the jewel. Because of the jewel's presence in the city of Dwaraka, there will be no more famines or disturbances created by pestilence or excessive heat and cold. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 56th chapter of Krishna entitled, The Story of the Syamantaka Jewel.